Sex, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the speculative interdimensional vehicle, Sex in Space. Its mission, to explore new points of view, to seek out fresh opinions, to boldly go where so many have gone before, and still somehow manage to totally miss the point. Subscribe to Sex in Space, wherever quality podcasts are found.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Sex in Space podcast. My name's Toshi, and we're very excited to have you join us today for the second installment in our Blokes Talk Sex series. Thanks so much for being with us wherever you're tuning in from. Please make sure to leave a like, comment, or review, as your feedback means the world to us. If you're after more great Sex in Space content, you can find us over on YouTube, where we also post video versions of our podcast episodes if you prefer to watch and listen at the same time. Just search for us using our handle at sexinspace.com. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok under that handle too. Today's episode is the second in our Blokes Talk Sex series. In the first episode, Tim and Jeremy had a conversation about their experiences growing up with pornography, and today they're back to discuss the question, what is sex? So let's get into it.
What is sex?
What is sex? What is sex indeed?
Well, I think for the purposes of this, we have to call it a verb.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, sex is obviously a kind of a doing word, isn't it? It sort of depends on the context of how you are doing it, who you are doing it with.
Yeah.
How, you know, how do you ease the path of doing?
Yeah. You could put a word group in front of it, or you could put the word solo in front of it, and it
and it still works. It's a good all purpose verb, isn't it, really? For the purposes of this, I guess that's what we're talking about. I mean, you know, context is everything, isn't it? With sex.
It sure is. Yeah.
Kind of like, well, tell me about sex. Well, tell me a little bit more about the context in which you tend to engage in it. Or that might help, you know, who your partners are, what their genders are, blah, 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 blah. Then it kind of helps to put some sort of fence around it, if such a thing could be done. But I think, I remember what we talked about, what we kicked off with the last time, was the fact that in ancient Greece, there was no word for homosexuality because
it just was.
It just was. They didn't have any of that kind of all the dramas that we tend to mix into the sexual arena. They made love with whoever they wanted, male, female, or otherwise, and there was no judgment on the choices that a person could make, you know. So it does feel like in the last 2,000 years we've gone backwards a little bit in some respect.
Yeah, build a lot less pillars in our architecture too.
Well, for a start, and I mean, that's another backwards thing as well, because I don't know about you, but I really like pillars. I think pillars give things a real sense of staying power. It's going to be there for 2,000 years. All of that stuff.
Yeah.
And they are quite sexual as well, aren't they? Really?
No, you're like absolutely right.
Giant ribbed condoms.
Oh, they turn me on. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's not to like, really?
I'd be interested if we, you know, we had a time machine to go back, and I just wonder, how much now are we more obsessed by sex that it's kind of all the do's and don'ts are sort of, you know, right there under the skin of our culture, if you know what I mean, as opposed to just more accepted.
Yeah, there seem to be, you know, obviously, and probably to this day, there are places around the world that are far more relaxed about sex as such than the West. Obviously, there's a lot of countries out there who are a lot less relaxed as well. You know, you can still be killed for being homosexual in various places around the world. And That's quite a shocking thing in itself.
Yep.
Let alone the dramas that trans people would have to deal with. You know, I mean, we have enough problem getting our head around that, around trans and what that means and what that needs and toilet facilities and whatever. You know, so you can only imagine what it's like in less enlightened places than us. I'm not saying that we're particularly enlightened anyway, considering the earlier example. But, you know,
yeah,
it's a funny old world. The seemingly, the more we find out about it, the more we talk about it, the less progress is made on resolving all the issues we have with it. You know, there's the...
Yeah, I wonder what that is. I wonder if we're, you know, a bit naive or something about how much we talk about it or how much we think we've progressed. Yeah, I suppose everyone's still just groping around, aren't they? Trying to find their way. Yeah. As a
peacock analogy, mate. Groping around is what we're doing, sort of in the dark, as it were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
We just, you know, everyone likes to think they're pretty cool about everything, but they're not, you know.
No.
You just, I don't know if you've been to a church group lately. I haven't, but I can imagine there's not a lot of talking
about that
kind of talking about, you know, sexual mores or positions or, you know, stated positions on sex.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that to be true because, you know, I have friends who are religious and that's fine by them, but they're not going to have sex before marriage. They're not going to have sex for fun. It's for reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of leaves a whole kind of tranche of sexuality come just cut out, which seems to me like there's several losers in that particular equation, not least of which them. But it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, you know, I don't want to pile on too much to organized religion. I'm sure that some of them are very open, but I did hear an anecdote the other day that a lot of people go into marriages if they've kind of waited for that special someone, and they can feel a bit overwhelmed by the act, and then a lot of anxiety can sort of come from that, which will need sort of looking at in its own right, and can lead to, you know, other issues, sexual issues, mental health issues. So yeah, it's interesting.
How do people who have never had any instruction about sexual intercourse based on, for whatever reason, how do they have, to your point, I mean, you get to that moment, you found that person, the person you want to be with for the rest of your life, the person you want to have children with, and making the assumption that other person is in the same raft that you are, i.e. they don't know anything about it either. So there's a whole bunch of outcomes from that, and only a couple of them are any good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's asking a hell of a lot.
How did people cope before the internet and books and things like that? You know?
I guess they just did it where they felt like, when they felt like, with whoever they felt like, you know? And I think, hey, that against the backdrop of, you know, in the past, everybody around you was dropping like flies, various kind of, you know, diseases that used to ravage mankind. Humankind, anyway.
Exactly.
So I guess
that's
had,
you know, 12 children. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, 9 of them wouldn't make it to 5.
Yeah, so, it's crazy, really.
It's interesting. Because obviously, you know, the religious side of things is the elephant in the room sexually. And, I mean, those things obviously have changed over the centuries, you know. Some religions didn't even exist. It's sort of halfway through our development, you know, the Reformation and all that kind of crap. You do.
But in
wonder.
Terms of sexual training, I mean, it's not. No one really gets that before. You know, they have to go and do the deed. But you're obviously exposed. Each individuals are exposed to a differing amount of education. Be that, you know, the official, you know, channels, the talk with your parents, whatever crap your friends are spouting, cultural stuff, porn, you know, books, stuff you've gone and hunted down yourself, all as a whole, you know, plethora of it. But yeah, I guess at that point where you first are committed to your fumblings, do you really have a clue?
Well, I mean, the answer's got to be no, doesn't it? I mean, I'm floundering in the dark here just as much as they are, probably.
Yeah.
And you wonder, do young people of religious parents, or training or whatever, and that they have chosen this path, you know, they're not going to have sex until they're married, until the one they're married to, and I'm, you know, we're going to have kids, we're not going to use any contraception because that would be bad. Do they do anything like, you know, any kind of warm-ups, you know what I mean, any kind of practice, any kind of, you know, non-penetrative sexual fumbling with their chosen one just to see if they're even close to being kind of on the same path, you know?
Does that maybe happen?
I don't know. Maybe they do. I mean, they
must do.
They go through puberty and they must have the same urges that everybody else does at that time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Did you ever was it ever even a thing that, like, in your brain, when you were sort of about to have sex for the first time, that this wasn't the person you were going to marry or be with forever? Or was this very firmly a first time thing, let's get this done, but like future, this is, you know, there's no.
Yeah. What yeah. you said. No, yeah. It was kind of like, oh boy, here we go. getting off the mark here. No, there was never,
no.
I never thought that far ahead. I mean, I was 16, you know, and I was in it.
Yeah.
No, it just never occurred to me. Never, you know, I never thought, oh, you know, this is the first time, so she must be the one, you know, that never crossed my mind. Maybe,
yeah, my powers of prediction into the future or foresight into anything at that kind of age was about a week. You know, that's kind of,
yeah,
you could just about make plans for the next weekend, but as opposed to like,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
So this is the person, or
no, not an issue,
no,
just a kind of a growing sense of excitement, you know, harnessed to a whole shitload of trepidation. You know, as to what's going to happen here and really, you know, concentrate, don't make a mess of it, you know, start as you mean to go on, et cetera. And that's kind of, that's the way it sort of, it happened with me. And there was a certain
feeling of
satisfaction afterwards, you know, where you sort of.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not quite sure how she found it, but it was great for me, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a couple of
false starts, I think.
Just falling at the last piece, kind of thing.
Yeah, golly, complicated. Where you think it's going to go somewhere and it doesn't, because you can't.
Right.
You can't push or kind of close the deal. Like, you're not, neither of you are sure that, like, this is the time it's going to happen, if you know what I mean. You, like, get to sort of 85% of the way there, you know, all the clothes are off, you know. Lots of other stuff's happened, but, like, you just don't have that, like, commit, this is it, this is the time. So I wouldn't have called those a false start, actually. I think that's just a, you know, if we're talking about definitions of sex, I suppose we are, what is sex? That too was some sort of sex. It just didn't happen to end in pee and vagina sex. So
sure,
that's the... Yeah. Oh,
yeah, look,
so false start is wrong. Not giving it enough credit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The full penetrative number, I guess.
Yeah.
What is the holy grail, I guess, certainly for a 16-year-old guy. I don't know, living in GI, but I mean everything is sex, isn't it? You know, really when you think about it, if you're rubbing yourself up against someone naked, that's sex. If you're, you know, I mean, well, let's flip it to this kind of weird moral kind of stricture that I know some kind of people have about what is sex. And for some, it's kind of vaginal penetration is sex, anal penetration is not, because you don't have a chance to. There's obviously no chance of conception, so you do that as a kind of a fallback position to actually having penetrative sex vaginally. You know, and that to me
is just what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's a perceived loophole. Because obviously it's sex. You know, it's like a blowjob. It was, we didn't have sex, but I gave him a blowjob. Well, hang on a minute.
Yes.
If I was on the receiving end of that, I'd say we had fucking sex, man. Yeah, totally. And
totally.
You know. But to suggest that it isn't, and it's, and you're somehow still, you know, you can still wear white on your wedding day. It's a kind of a, it's a self-delusion, isn't it, really? You know?
Yeah.
It's a loophole that isn't really a loophole at all. I mean, you could probably still get all the same diseases, you know, et cetera. So it's, interesting.
So then here's a brain teaser for you. If you've been with someone and you haven't had penetrative in vagina sex, right? But she's been giving you hand jobs and blowies for a year. Are you still a virgin? Or is virginity this myth? Because the other thing is, you know, if you're a lesbian or something and you've had sex with 50 women, are you still a virgin, or have you had sex with 50 people? Like, what's, you know, the myth of virginity to me seems so flawed. Yeah. But,
And like a lot of those things, it's got so much laid on it, you know, that's, it's holding up such a weight of expectation, you know, you want to talk about loopholes. Well, we're talking about the biggest one of all here, aren't we? You know, there's, okay, you may still be technically a virgin because, you know, on both sides of that fence, because you haven't had penetrative sex. But if you've done everything else, you know, whatever, you know, fellatio, blowjobs, hand jobs, fondling, this, that, the other, all up to anal sex, I guess you could still stand there with a, you know, with a straight face and say you're a virgin.
You could.
I wouldn't personally.
No.
Because, you know,
all that other stuff. Why is it that you reckon that, you know, penis and vagina sex or anal sex is, like, I don't know, kind of considered above like a blowjob or a hand job or something that you don't, I mean, you could achieve those on your own, but, you know, in terms of sex with another person, like, why is there some sort of a ranking system, I wonder? Because is it about the quality of the orgasm, the intensity of the connection with the other person? Like, I don't know why there's like a ranking system, but I would personally rate a good old fashioned hand job. You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it gets back to, for me anyway, this idea of there being loopholes in people's understanding of sex.
Yeah. You know,
it seems like a nonsense that, you know, I know, getting a blowjob from someone and having penetrative sex with someone, how they can be called different things, but at least they're not part of the same superset that is sex. Well, that's nonsense, isn't it? Clearly you're having sex. Clearly there's a sexual act being performed. The fact that it's not penis and vagina penetration is kind of, so what? That is just a...
All right, then. So a tit wank counts as well.
Absolutely. Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Yes, good. Absolutely. Okay. Just
absolutely
going just through some...
No. Don't just fire those out there as you think of them, man. it must be. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you're confronted by your mother. Did you have sex? She said, no, I just had a titty wing. Oh. Is she going to go, okay, then off you go, darling? Probably not.
Yeah. No.
There'll probably, you know, more conversations following that one. But it's, for some people, it is a kind of a, you know, it is just a loophole. It's just a way of saying, you know, a way of saying, yes, I am still a virgin, or no, we haven't had sex. Of course you have, you know, I think anything that involves, I mean, if you tongue kissing someone, you know, that's a kind of, you know, that to me is
pretty intimate.
It's still sex. It's intimate. You're swapping spit all over the place. And, you know,
it sounds so lovely.
It is, mate, you know, if you do it properly. You know, it's sex. It's a sexual act. It's an act of sex. You're not going to do that with a total stranger. Well.
No, well.
Unless you're at
a really good party, yeah.
Unless you're at a great party. And as soon as I said that, I thought, hang on, no, that's bullshit. Because, I did that. And that was fantastic, by the way. I think the whole anonymity of the thing was what made it really exciting. But, yeah. When you're smooching someone, when you're hugging someone, when you're rubbing bodies together, when you've, you know, mutual masturbation, that's sex, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not sex.
Now, here's something that never happened. I just want to, you know, but does this fit into the category of sex?
Get that cleared up straight away.
Get that cleared up. Group masturbation. First, I've never really understood that one as this sort of rite of passage that boys seem to go through. Group masturbation.
I never went through that. I'm kind of satisfied with that too, to be honest.
And you went to an all-boys school.
I know. And, you know, it was a bummer in every regard. You know, I was... You know, okay, to be honest, man, I mean, okay, there were no girls around. One. What's the opposite of a two? Yeah. Cross. I sure as hell didn't want to fucking masturbate in front of a whole bunch of my scaly mates. Cross. So you're sort of, you know, you're stuck in this position where you're sort of in a holding pattern, you know. We're over the drop zone, but we're just waiting for the green light sort of thing. And I have to, and, you know, and I've got to find something to drop my bombs on, which I don't. I'm just flying through clear air at that stage. So, you know, it's a weird one. It's a weird one.
We should do a podcast on that, like just that, because it was one of those
group
things.
Masturbation.
All of my friends would have thought it was a complete myth as well, but apparently it happens. But I just cannot. Imagine, I mean, it would just, any of my friends, if you'd ever brought it up or anything like that, I can just imagine it just would have been like, no way.
I was far too uncool to do anything like that for a start, you know, and shy.
Maybe you were too cool. Maybe, I don't know who, I don't know where in the social
I wish that was it,
thing they're doing it. Yeah.
I wish that was it, mate, but I don't think it was. No, it was just kind of one of those things, mate. It seemed so kind of such an alien thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, did you go to a co-ed school, high school?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually finish school. So, yeah, I bailed at 14 and then went to college. So all of my mutual wanking opportunities is probably... I left them there, maybe.
Disappeared. Left those behind. Disappointed by that, Tim?
Absolutely not, no.
I guess it does happen. I'd love to talk to a female peer in this regard. Ask that question again. Is that something? Because, I mean, you know, females seem so much more emotionally advanced at a younger age than, you know, clunky old boys are. So I wonder whether or not that's a certain amount of sophistication that they might have, that they'd be okay with such a thing, because, you know, what the hey. But
maybe it never occurs to them. Perhaps what we're dealing with here is some sort of depravity. But only boys go through.
it certainly wasn't me going through that. That's for sure. There was never any offers made or come on, we're a whole bunch of us are going up there. People, wait, come on down. that never happened. And I'm glad.
Who's the coordinator in the social group? Who puts the hand up first? In the ringleader of this fucking
who wants to come and have a mutual wank out the back. look, nobody that I knew. I mean, no one was putting their hand up for that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, there was, you know, there's obviously the cool guys at school. You know, there's always the cool guys, whether it's for one reason or another. But no, that opportunity never presented itself. Thank Christ for that.
Excellent. Yeah. We've disappeared onto a bit of a tangent, potentially, but I like it.
Yeah,
but
it's not a bad tangent.
No, it's amusing. I suppose
it's about sex and sex. It is. Sex is, and we are talking about, you know. Okay, well, there's an interesting one, isn't it? If you're having a same sex group wank, is that sex?
Mm-hmm. I'd say so, and I mean, I would also say it's, you know, it's not either hetero or homosexual or anything. It's, is it?
It's onanism.
Yeah.
You know, self.
Yeah.
Self-stimulation. But I guess, you know, you I mean, that masturbation is a sexual act, whether you're doing it to someone else or yourself, I guess. I suppose that's sex.
Yeah.
It's a verb.
We're on good
ground grammatically.
You can't fault the grammar.
No, but it's funny, isn't it? And I wonder what, you know, I mean, was there any particular incident or group you were talking about when you brought that up? I mean, it's the sort of thing you can imagine, you know, half the British House of Lords engaging in when they went to Eton or some shit. But
that's, you know, probably where my brain was going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. No, I hadn't thought specifically about any anything as such. It just it popped in my head as a sort of, maybe I've read about it or something like that, or in someone's like, I don't know, autobiography or something like that. It's come up.
Really?
Yeah, maybe tales from boarding school. I don't know. It's it's a funny one.
Did you board when you went to your school?
No,
I didn't.
I was in and out. Say, it's short amount of time there as possible.
Yeah. So, it is the sort of thing I can imagine if you're gonna do that kind of thing, you know, you're either an adult who's absolutely into bloody masturbating with other people in a group, or your guys in a boarding school.
Yeah,
the other option.
The other option.
Who else is going to do that?
No, exactly.
I can certainly imagine guys at the school I went to who bought it there, then, you know, shit, some of them pretty weird, you know. Maybe that's what they did to pass the time. I don't know.
Maybe. And, all right, then. Phone sex. Is phone sex sex?
Ah, well, this is, yeah, okay. That's a very interesting question.
And I'm talking about purely because I've only partaken in this in like pre iPhone era, so pure audio,
right?
Yeah, no pick sent, nothing like that. Just pure audio.
Well, there's been
storytelling, if you call it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What film was it? It was a story about a girl who was who did phone sex for a living, and you know, I don't want to get into any ugly sort of judgments here, but she was a fairly unprepossessing looking woman with a fabulous deep silky voice, and she made a fucking fortune. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She did.
Because she just had this pattern. It was just, and guys would just go, and she just had to say jump, and they went, and they came.
So, yeah.
But it's an interesting story, isn't it?
Yeah, and she'd be classed as a sex worker. Yeah, I suppose. So,
that's what she'd put on her tax return, I imagine. And you kind of, having someone probably masturbating at the other end of the line, I guess that there's the direct connection between kind of the phone and the sex.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's got to be a sex act because it, you know, at the end of it, someone's getting off.
Yeah,
somehow.
I'm sure many a long distance relationship has been kept, you know, exciting by phone sex throughout throughout the ages.
Definitely, I can definitely concur with that one.
Mm.
I mean, you know, with my partner, not with someone.
Oh, 800. Someone under, yeah.
800. Off.
Yeah.
yeah. But that's a good question, isn't it? Because it must be.
You know, I think so.
By definition, it must be. And
yep.
You know, you are trying to arouse somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
You're
in a sexual relationship with somebody. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, already, and you're just doing what you can because you can't be together, you know, which is fine. But phone sex itself, yeah, I mean, it must be. I'm trying to think of anything that we've talked about that wouldn't be called sex on some level by somebody.
Mm. Well, what we should do is put a pin in this but move on next time to dating apps and all that shenanigans, because hand in hand with that comes, you know, the evolution of phone sex is, you know, swapsies of intimate pics, videos, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then, all right, there we go.
What a good idea. Let's do that.
What a good idea. Let's do that. We just need to find some people that have actually done it, because neither me or you
experience of this.
Have ever installed Tinder. Yeah.
It's like sex, man. It's like, it's just floundering in the dark, really.
Absolutely floundering. Yeah. That's good. I love it.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's till next time.
Make a note of that and we'll pick that one up.
We really hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to tune in to the First Blokes Talk Sex podcast, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the conversation over on our YouTube channel. Before we sign off, we want to remind you that we have two books available now. One is How to Talk with Your Kids About Porn, which helps give parents the tools they need to have these tricky conversations with their kids. And the second is The Organ Education Forgot, which is a little book about the clitoris. These are both available as a downloadable PDF or in print, and you can head over to sexandspace.com to grab your copy. If you love what we do and would like to support us in other ways, we'd love for you to buy some merch, which is also available on our website. We have mugs and t-shirts, and buying even one will help us continue to do the work that we do. As always, thank you so much for listening and being on this journey with us. Until next time, safe travels and see you on the next episode.